The Rogue Ghost, Episode 23. As we wove through the bustling streets of Athens, the enchanted glasses were setting off alerts like a car alarm in a quiet neighborhood. Cerberus Syndicate agents were lurking everywhere, scanning tourists like they were searching for a needle in a haystack. But thanks to our hacked shimmer rings, we moved among the crowds like ghosts, our presence unnoticed. Upon arriving at Treasures of Theseo, the shop stood pristine and poised, as if plucked straight out of a fairy tale. But don't let that storybook exterior fool you, behind its polished facade was a bubbling cauldron of trouble with a capital T, stirred up with a hefty dose of danger. And there they were, more syndicate goons, attempting to look nondescript, but sticking out like neon signs in a dark alley. They thought they had the upper hand, waiting in ambush. But they clearly hadn't gotten the memo, we don't shy away from challenges, we revel in them.
Welcome back, my fellow travelers, to this shadowed path of enigma and peril. You've re-entered our cryptic saga at a critical juncture. Last time, our quest drew us deep into the throbbing heart of Manhattan, once again to the soaring heights of the Empire State Building. There, within the polished offices of the Apex View Law Group, our meeting with Thomas Chance veered into treachery. Under the guise of hospitality, he revealed his true colors, not as an ally but as a cunning agent of the Cerberus Syndicate, his loyalty forged in the dark fires of their sinister agenda. The moment his allegiance was unveiled, the air thickened with danger, the office becoming a cage crafted of glass and cold smiles. Yet, as the shadows of betrayal loomed, so too did the flicker of resolve ignite within us. Armed with nothing but our wits and undying resolve, Runeweaver and I prepared to navigate the treacherous waters stirred up by Chance's betrayal.
Buckle up, folks, because this roller coaster took a nosedive into a dizzying descent. There we were, engulfed in the harsh glare pouring through the windows of Thomas Chance's office, which felt more like a lair of lies. Every syrupy word that dripped from Chance's lips was laced with the kind of venom that could make your skin slither right off your bones. He aimed his gun like it was a prop from a melodrama, spinning a yarn about a shadowy figure who had appeared right after his aunt's admission to the hospital. This mystery man, practically a walking cloak of darkness, claimed Harriet Chance was not just a curator of fancy knick-knacks, but a gatekeeper of profound, mystical secrets, and Thomas Chance was supposedly the chosen one, destined to inherit this supernatural legacy. But wait, there's always a catch with these mysterious cloak and dagger types. Before the grand reveal of Harriet's mighty enigma, Chance had to sign on the dotted line, committing to their cryptic terms. He spoke of demonstrations, freaky stuff, visions that had unfurled a reality so vast and bizarre it had shaken him to the core. We let the silence hang thick, giving him all the rope he needed to fashion his noose. I shot RG a quick glance, catching the hint of a smile. He was playing it cool, letting Chance dig his own grave with his tales of clandestine meetings. Then, as if to ratchet the tension a notch higher, Chance divulged an encounter with a second, far more compelling visitor, a woman this time, who had known exactly how to stroke his ego. Her pitch? A kingdom of wealth and power, all in exchange for a little espionage on some Apex View clients and keeping tabs on anyone snooping around the spirit desk or sniffing out his family secrets. It was a dark deal, made in the shadows and sealed with a loyalty to the Cerberus Syndicate that had been as chilling as it had been binding. As Chance wrapped up his proud tale of betrayal and backstabbing, a wave of disgust rolled over me. Here was a man, or rather, a shell of one, who had sold his soul at the first whisper of wealth, stomping on his aunt's legacy as if it were just another rung on his ladder to the top.
As the stark reality of Thomas Chance's betrayal unfurled before us in his polished office, the atmosphere grew dense with the imminent threat of his treachery. The air turned colder, filled with the palpable dread of his next move. He reached for the phone to summon his sinister allies from the Cerberus Syndicate. In that split second, my instincts kicked into overdrive. With no time to waste and our odyssey hanging by a thread, I acted. Diving into the depths of my jacket, I retrieved the enchanted spray bottle, its contents glinting with the promise of arcane intervention. A tool from our reserve of magical artifacts, this bottle wasn't filled with mere water but with a potent sleep-inducing elixir. With a flick of my wrist, I unleashed a cloud of this magical mist towards Chance. The ghostly haze swept over him with the silent ferocity of a winter fog. He inhaled, his eyes widening in a brief moment of realization before they fluttered shut, his body slackening as the enchantment claimed him, sending him into a deep, unsuspecting slumber. With our adversary now neutralized, the urgency of the moment didn't allow us to relax. While Runeweaver launched into action, her fingers a blur as she navigated Chance's computer with her expert hacking skills, my attention was irresistibly drawn to an ornate frame on the wall. It displayed what we had come to recognize as the symbolic key to the Partridge and Chance Antique Gallery. As I approached the frame, my mind raced with the implications of removing such a crucial piece from Chance's office. To take it could potentially alert the Syndicate to the key's significance, setting off unforeseen consequences. Yet, the gravity of our situation left no room for hesitation. With each passing second, the window of opportunity was closing. Resolute, I reached out, lifting the frame from its hook, its weight in my hands a tangible testament to the path we were now irrevocably committed to.
Plunging into Thomas Chance's digital vault was like navigating the depths of a shadowy ocean. Each click unraveling secrets ensnared within the digital underbelly of his meticulously curated domain, reserved exclusively for the watchful eyes of the Cerberus Syndicate. Amid the labyrinth of encrypted data, I stumbled upon a couple of Apex View accounts, swollen with funds earmarked for Marie Columba and Karen Richter. These hefty financial cushions were more than enough to ensure their uninterrupted care. But what really caught my breath? The mysterious benefactor behind these accounts was a company called Winter's Whisper. Just rolling that name off my tongue seemed to cast an otherworldly hush over the room, its enigmatic facade a bewitching veil for depths untold, intricately entwining with the narrative of our mission. Yet, as I burrowed deeper, the waters turned murkier. Hidden among mundane corporate emails was a gem that caught my eye. Correspondence detailing Chance's recent obsession with a certain jewelry shop in Athens, the Treasures of Theseo. My heart skipped a beat. If that wasn't a screaming siren that the Syndicate was on the prowl for the fifth puzzle box, I didn't know what was. But my foray wasn't just a reconnaissance mission. I seized every bite of information, my digital footprints meticulously obscured. And as a parting gift, before exiting Chance's network, I embedded a little sentinel, my remote access Trojan, primed to monitor his every digital move. We hustled out of Chance's office, leaving him snoozing behind the spirit desk. I floated the idea of hitting Chance with a second spritz of our enchanted spray. If it worked like it had on Jake and Carla, those Cerberus Syndicate pawns back in Prague, he'd forget about us and wake up thinking he'd had a steamy fling with his much younger PA, or something to that effect. However, RG shot down my idea with a dose of reality. Despite the enchanted music box masking our movements on CCTV, our presence had not gone unnoticed by the Apex View staff. Besides, our reserves of the mystical spray were almost depleted, and it wasn't wise to squander what little we had left on risky theatrics.
Back at the watermill, the thrill of our latest acquisition fueled us with an urgency that crackled through the cool air. The key we had taken from Thomas Chance's office was about to be tested in the first puzzle box. Much like the key from Margot Columba, this one began to react as we neared the box, growing in size, its transformation driven by the pulsing glow from the lantern on our mystical Christmas card. I inserted the key into the lock with a sense of ceremony, feeling it drawn in by the box itself, as if it were eager to fulfill its purpose. As I turned the key, a familiar spectacle unfolded before our eyes. The box began to levitate, its sides delicately unfolding like the petals of an exotic flower, transforming into yet another intricately carved wooden rectangle. The wood, bathed in the dim light of the basement, seemed to come alive under my gaze. Its surface, adorned with deep, deliberate carvings, whispered of arcane secrets and mysteries begging to be deciphered. As I manipulated the wooden piece, it felt as though each turn revealed more of its enigmatic nature. I contemplated the craftsmanship, each line and curve meticulously etched with a purpose that hinted at a larger, more complex puzzle. With each piece we uncovered, my mind spun with possibilities. 12 parts, I theorized, might come together to form a complete picture, a grand puzzle that could unlock the storied mystery of Santa's last Christmas door. This idea wasn't just a hypothesis, it felt like an inevitable conclusion drawn from the clues assembled through our intricate journey. As I held the newly transformed puzzle piece, the weight of our discovery pressed upon me, yet it was accompanied by a surge of resolve. This wasn't just another segment of wood, it was a crucial step towards uncovering a legend, a key part in the elaborate puzzle that we were destined to solve.
While RG made some calls to check on Jenny's progress and ensure Margot Kalumba and Dr. Mulla were safely out of the Cerberus Syndicate's crosshairs, I plunged into the digital deep end, my first stop, the Odyssey Seekers Forum. A new post sent a chill down my spine, a steganography image of Athens. Embedded within it was the usual hidden eye symbol, a digital breadcrumb trail designed to steer the Syndicate's operatives straight to the location of the fifth puzzle box. Below the image, a solitary comment acted as the confirming nod, a link to the Treasures of Theseo website, the jewelry shop that had piqued Thomas Chance's interest. The knot tightening in my stomach was all the confirmation I needed. What we had discovered on Chance's computer was chillingly accurate. The Syndicate's hounds were not just sniffing around Athens, they were closing in. Switching focus, I assessed the outcome of my recent ID search using the mugshots from Karen Richter's funeral. The results were a mosaic of faces from the Belvedere Psychiatric Hospital Trust, their stares blank and unknowing. Yet, there still remained faces that were shadows lurking in the periphery, faces that defied identification, their identities scrubbed clean from the databases. My next digital dive took me after Winter's Whisper, highlighted in the Apex View accounts as the mystery benefactor for Marie Kalumba and Karen Richter. While outwardly a charity, there was an aura of mystery that cloaked its operations. This benefactor's elusive nature piqued my curiosity, clearly there was more beneath the surface. It was a thread I knew we'd need to tug on soon, but other matters pressed. I turned my focus to the Treasures of Theseo. The jewelry shop was steeped in as much myth as metal. As my research deepened, our Christmas card suddenly sparked to life, its magical lantern glowing with an encouraging light. The shop, originally founded in the late 1940s by Andreas Costas, first bore the name Theseo, de Savroy, a nod to its trove of artisan treasures, before undergoing a modern rebranding. My pulse quickened as I unearthed details of its inaugural masterpiece, 5 gold rings crafted in 1948 to celebrate the Olympic Games revival, post-World War II. These tribute rings were displayed prominently at Wembley Stadium during the event, they were like a direct echo of our latest riddle. This wasn't mere coincidence, it was as if destiny itself was beckoning. And as I murmured 5 gold rings, the lantern on our Christmas card burst into a more intense glow, pulsating in sync with each syllable as though it was quietly chanting along to the familiar Christmas tune. Our mystical guide was lighting our path once again, its brilliance cutting through the darkness of uncertainty. Digging through layers of history, I traced the shop's lineage from Andreas to his granddaughter Sophia. Each name added depth to the saga, each twist a stitch in the fabric of a tale much grander than I had imagined. I felt the weight of discovery pressing upon me, the intrigue far from exhausted. But RG's updates brought a glimmer of relief, Margot and Dr. Mulla were secure, and Jenny's resilience continued to shine through. Closing out my digital investigation, I snuck back into Chance's network through my Trojan, cloaked in the shadows of cyberspace. So far, no alerts. Perhaps he was still reeling from our last encounter, or maybe his pride had him playing dumb with his Syndicate overlords. Either way, we were poised to catch his next move.
Runeweaver deftly unraveled the tangled threads of mystery surrounding Treasures of Theseo, a chilling realization dawned upon us. Andreas Costas, the revered founder of the shop, seemed increasingly likely to have been a guardian of the fifth puzzle box's legacy. Now, with his granddaughter, Sophia Costas, steering the shop into modern times, a fresh layer of intrigue and familial continuity thickened the plot, each revelation darkening the twilight of our odyssey like clouds gathering before a storm. Every fragment of data extracted from Thomas Chance's digital vault sharpened the intricate puzzle of our quest into clearer focus, yet the path ahead bristled with ever more peril. This was no mere challenge, it was a frantic race against the relentless tick of time, a high-stakes game played against adversaries cloaked in the veils of secrecy and driven by motives as dark as the night sky. Strikingly, it appeared that the Cerberus Syndicate was oblivious to the true depth of the Guardian legacy, a critical piece of the puzzle veiled from their grasp, cloaked in the enigmatic shrouds of history. Runeweaver's fingers moved with determined urgency as she called the jewelry shop's main line, her resolute silence filling the room, punctuated only by the hollow ring of an unanswered call. Our sense of urgency mounted, a palpable force in the still air of our secluded hideaway. With no time to lose, Runeweaver tracked down Sophia Costas's personal contact details. Yet, fate seemed to twist against us. My call was diverted straight to her voicemail, the beep sounding like a gavel in the quiet of our safe haven. I left a message, each word heavy with the urgency of our plight. I hung up, the weight of our shared destinies pressed heavily upon me, underscoring the gravity of what we faced.
As every moment passed, the pressure mounted like a ticking time bomb, urging us to action. Sophia Costas remained elusive, her silence a haunting echo in the depths of uncertainty. But as the minutes slipped through our fingers like grains of sand, one thing became abundantly clear: we couldn't afford to wait any longer. Athens had called, a city teeming with secrets waiting to be unearthed, and we were determined to seize the truth before it slipped away into the shadows. But as we prepared to step into the lion's den, a nagging doubt gnawed at the edges of my consciousness. Our previous exec disguises now posed a potential risk. Their features were likely immortalized on the CCTV systems of Belvedere Psychiatric Hospital. This exposure made them too risky to reuse, a vulnerability we couldn't afford. So, we shed our former identities like a snake shedding its skin, embracing new personas forged in the crucible of necessity. Thanks to our quickly reprogrammed hacked shimmer rings, I became a woman cloaked in dreadlocks, each twist and turn of my new hair shrouding my identity in mystery. Beside me, RG transformed, his rugged appearance almost carved from the stone of resolve itself, his features hardened into a visage that spoke silently of readiness to confront whatever lay hidden in Athens. This new look had echoes of Xavier Blake, our occasionally allied rogue-for-hire enchanter, known for his own brand of rough charm and readiness for any escapade.
Choosing to avoid the conventional route along the Shadowgate pathway, which would have led us directly to a traverse near the Acropolis, was a strategic decision influenced by my past experiences during my Spectrus Order days. I knew all too well that this secretive, yet well-trodden path, would serve as the perfect setup for a Cerberus Syndicate ambush. Thus, we relied on our Shadowgate lexicon to chart a less conspicuous route to Athens, beginning from the serene countryside of Sheffield, transitioning through the bustling heart of London, and weaving through several more shadow gates across Europe. Our final entry point landed us on a narrow, winding street in Anafiotika, nestled within the quieter veins of Athens. Emerging on a bright, sunny afternoon, we opted against public transport, choosing instead to walk to Theseo. We reasoned that the journey time would be comparable, and walking would provide us with a better opportunity to survey our surroundings for any potential threats. Indeed, as we traversed the vibrant streets toward our destination, the enchanted spectacles perched on Runeweaver's nose began to hum. Each alert of a Cerberus Syndicate agent felt like an ominous bell tolling, heightening our senses and readiness for whatever lay ahead. Our cautious approach finally led us to the Treasures of Theseo. The jewelry shop stood as a picture of elegance against the quaint backdrop of a cobblestone street. Its old-world charm was evident in its whitewashed facade, accented with intricate gold and teal detailing that elegantly framed the windows and doors. However, the charming exterior masked the danger that awaited us. As anticipated, the vicinity was thick with Cerberus Syndicate agents, blending into the scenery with a casual menace. Their watchful eyes scanned the area, serving as a stark reminder of the stakes at play. Their presence cast a palpable shadow over the area, transforming our simple walk into a stealth operation. Facing overwhelming odds, we found temporary refuge in a nearby cafe, a nondescript haven that offered a fleeting veil of anonymity. The relentless shadows of Syndicate agents loomed ominously outside Treasures of Theseo, their presence as predatory as vultures circling their intended quarry. Their heavy surveillance suggested that Sophia Costas was indeed inside the shop, perhaps unaware of the danger cloaked just beyond her doorstep, or worse, coerced and held under duress. It was clear that Sophia was no mere bystander in our unfolding narrative. She was crucial, deeply entangled in the legacy of the fifth puzzle box. We had to make contact with her, without alerting the watching Syndicate agents, to unearth any knowledge she might possess about the Olympic tribute rings that could lead us to our prize. Amidst this tension, the enchanted spray bottle, a tool that had served us well in the recent cloak and dagger aspects of our journey, signaled its nearing exhaustion. Its contents shimmered with a dwindling luminescence, a stark reminder that our magical resources were depleting. We had perhaps one more use, one final gambit to shift the odds in our favor, before we would be left to rely solely on our wits and whatever scraps of luck remained. Runeweaver's fingers danced over her phone screen with practiced urgency as she navigated through digital maps, searching for any edge we could use. A spark of triumph lit her eyes when she pinpointed a hidden route, a discreet entrance to the shop at the rear, cleverly veiled from the main street and hopefully less scrutinized by our adversaries. If Sophia Costas was indeed just beyond those walls, this passage might be our only chance to reach her undetected. With renewed resolve, we prepared to navigate this new route, each of us acutely aware that the success of our mission, and perhaps the fate of the fifth puzzle box, hinged on this next move.
As we sneaked around to the shadow-drenched rear of Treasures of Theseo, hope twinkled like the last flicker of a candle in a storm. Two Syndicate agents stationed as lookouts might as well have been phantoms, completely outmatched by the dwindling charm of our enchanted spray. RG, embodying the stealth of a cat burglar, crept up on them, delivering a swift spritz. They folded like cheap suits at a clearance sale, giving us just enough time to make our move. But the back door of the jewelry shop was no welcoming hostess. It stood defiant, a guardian of the treasures and secrets beyond. Not one to be deterred by a cold shoulder, I whipped out my trusty hacking tools, and I serenaded that stubborn electronic keypad with a symphony of hacks until it sang my tune. With a satisfying click that was music to my ears, the lock gave way, and the door swung open, ushering us into a corridor swallowed by shadows like the entrance to a hidden speakeasy. But our ascent into hopeful triumph crumbled when a discord of muffled screams pierced the quiet, a macabre symphony of agony that dragged us deeper into the abyss. Compelled by a force we couldn't ignore, we followed the harrowing cries to their source, stepping into a scene that chilled the blood. There, in the grim tableau of a storeroom turned torture chamber, was Sophia Costas, ensnared and powerless, a tragic marionette in the cruel hands of our foes. Two Syndicate agents, a man and a woman, their faces etched with malice, were her tormentors. They demanded knowledge of the Olympic tribute rings, their questions laced with venom. Sophia's defiance was met with brutality as the female agent's eyes blazed with arcane radiance. She unleashed her sinister magic, casting electric tendrils from her fingers that seared into Sophia's body with ruthless precision. Until next time, my kindred spirits, keep the flame of belief ever burning.